I guess Sunday I preached a sermon Sunday morning. And didn't want to say this is just strictly to Sarah, but obviously it was had her in mind. But all of us face different, milestones in life or a different change that takes place in the life. And we saw how that we could take those principles. Now, that may not have been all that we needed, and of course that wasn't all that she needs, but in a nutshell, some things that we should do when we face a major change in our life. And so in honor of that time of the year, we're going to look at a couple of verses about school. And I know some of you, just like myself, we've been out of school for a long time, all right? But I promise you, there's some things that we remember about school. There's some friends that we remember. There's some principles that we learned and things like that that we use. And of course, I said it, and I know a lot of you did. I don't understand why I'm learning this. I will never use this in life. And some of that came back and bit me, and I had to say, yeah, this is what Miss So-and-so or Mr. So-and-so taught me, and I thought I'd never use it, and lo and behold, here it is. But there were some times I was right. I still haven't used it, okay? I mean, I've been out for a long time, and I was right. I shouldn't have had to learn all that kind of stuff. But anyway, I was one of those that I put up with school. I didn't love school. Now, my wife, she loved it. And, again, I guess you could look at her report card and my report card and see which one loved it. And because I guess from kindergarten to 12th grade, I think 1 B for her. And it was a 92, and the teacher did it just so she would have a B. Or she would have had straight A's from kindergarten to 12th. And it was very similar to that in college. I think she had 2 B's in college instead of 1. But anyway, her report cards would have proved that she loved school. My report cards would prove that I didn't, and so forth. But anyway, I was always asked when I would come home from school, what'd you learn in school today? And it was probably because I didn't pay attention, this kind of stuff. But in the Bible, in Galatians 3, you don't have to turn there, I'll read them to you. But in Galatians 3, 24 and 25 is two of the places where the word school is in the Bible. There's a few other ones that you're like, oh, school's in the Bible? Yes, okay, school was in the Bible. The word school was in the Bible. And school basically means to be learning or to be taught, things like that. And Galatians 3:24 says, wherefore the law was our schoolmaster. All right, talking about Genesis to, Malachi, I think, is the last one. That's considered the law, all right, the Old Testament. And so it says here, wherefore the law was our schoolmaster. So from Genesis to Malachi, all of that was just like going to school. That was our ABCs. That was our 1, 2, 3s. That was our principles that we had to learn, I before E, except after C, and all that kind of stuff. I had learned that in school. I just used it. But anyway, you had different things like that. That stuck in there. And so that's what the Old Testament was there to be our schoolmaster. It says, wherefore the law was our schoolmaster. Why? Why do I have to go to school? All right. Your parents will say, because I said so. Because they'll come take you away from me if you don't. All that kind of stuff. Because you need to be smart. You need to learn. Because I had to. Whatever thing that your parent threw out there, why do I have to have school? So if somebody says, why is there the Old Testament? It was a law to bring us to Christ. It says here that we might be justified by faith. And so in other words, in Genesis, God created man to let us know where man came from. And then it talked about how that Satan came and deceived Eve and Adam and so forth and where sin came from. And then we see the problem that God kicked Satan out of heaven because of that sin. And he can't allow that up there. And God's not going to allow sin. And so sin, he created the hell for the devil and his demons. But then, of course, if you study that out, the Bible says it has to be enlarged daily. All right, so it wasn't created for anybody else except for the devil and his demons. But the Bible even says that it has to be enlarged daily because people will not do what it says to be saved. And so they have to be put into hell and so forth. But anyway, that was that schoolmaster was to let us know, hey, here's where you came from. Here's the sin problem. Here's what we did. We're going to sacrifice this male lamb, spotless, blemish, without or spotless, without any blemish, and we're going to shed His blood, and we're going to apply that blood, and this is going to be a schoolmaster to show us what Jesus is going to do. He's going to come and die for us. So the next verse it says here, but after that the faith is come, or I'm sorry, but after that faith is come, so in other words, when we learn what the schoolmaster was trying to tell us, afterwards, it says here, we are not, are no longer under the schoolmaster. And okay, so obviously I believe in here, all of us in here graduated. Anybody not graduate from school? All right, that you will admit? All right. My granddad, you know, I went to third grade and I had to go to work or whatever. So there may be a situation like that, but most all of us have graduated. Now, that does not mean, again, that we can throw away everything. I remember throwing backpacks away and books away and notebooks full of material away. I didn't want it. All right, but what I learned there came with me. And so it's what it's saying here is, all right, okay, yeah, the Old Testament is here, and it was our schoolmaster. It was pointing us to Christ. So when we accepted Him by faith, it was because of what we learned from school, from the schoolmaster, from the law. But once we got saved, it says here we're no longer under that. But again, we don't get rid of it. I still have my high school diploma. It would take me a little bit to find it. It's in a box in a garage, I promise you, okay? It's not displayed in the house, but I do have it. And then all the stuff that went into here when I was there, data in, data out, I mean, it's in there. So that's what Jesus said here. Look, all right, the law said thou shalt not kill. I say don't even hate your brother. The law says, you know, thou shalt not commit adultery. I say don't even look in lust. All right, so again, He didn't come to do away with it and to say, okay, it doesn't even matter, pretend like it wasn't there. No, no, no. He's like, take it. Just like when you graduate, you take what you learned from school and so forth. So that's what we're going to look at tonight. What have you learned? What have you learned? And so again, a lot of times, you know, I would come home from school and my dad would ask me, or if I was over at my granddad's house, what did you learn today in school? I couldn't think. I don't know, and so forth. But anyway, we see what we've learned today in school. The word learn means to go and get knowledge of a subject, or you go and get a skill. Sometimes you go and get a trade. I had shop in school. I had mechanics in school. I even had, what's that one where you learn to sew and cook? Home ec. I even had home ec in school. I don't know how I got in there. There was a lot of girls in there, though, so I was okay. But I learned how to sew and make a pillow. Miss Mary, you'd be proud of me. But anyway, I made a pillow, and I learned how to, you know, darn a sock. You know, darn sock, and you throw it away. No, I'm just I learned how to fix it. And so forth, things like that, that you learn a trade. So when you go to school, you're learning something. You're gathering knowledge. You're studying it. You're experiencing it. My wife and I were talking on our trip this week, you know, 35 years, you know, there's, you know, I wouldn't change a thing, that type of stuff. And we even went back as far as like life. Is there any part of life that you would go back and change? And we're like, no, I mean, I enjoyed life growing up, had a wonderful family, wonderful memories and things like that, and school, it was okay, and made some friends and things like that. But I said, I wouldn't want to do that part again. And I was like, I even enjoyed college. All right, my favorite thing that I learned in college was, or found out in college, was her. All right, but and I brought her with me. But anyway, I wouldn't go back and change that. I guess the only thing that we said that we might go back and redo, you know, like let's run this back, was when we had kids. All right, the little small ones, and you know, when they get out of the bathtub at night, you know, and you're right before bedtime, how they smell. All right. That's the only time they ever smelled clean, because sometimes they were packing something back there, and they didn't smell good, or they'd been out playing. But you know, right out of the bathtub, you know, that baby stuff that didn't make them cry when it got that smell. We liked that part, and we enjoyed raising them and things like that. But that's the only thing that we might redo, not change, but redo. But anyway, we learned some things through those experiences, and so we ought to memorize things. We ought to create habits because of this. And so Timothy, Paul was telling Timothy in 2 Timothy 3:7, it says here, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. In other words, if you went to first grade, straight S, you don't need to go to second grade. You need to redo that. All right? And get it. Why? Because it's line upon line, precept upon precept, just like the Bible says. You go to you know, kindergarten and learn how to say yes, ma'am, and no, ma'am, and raise your hand, and sit down and behave. And, you know, today, you know, all these things they'll tag on you, ADHD, and here, take this medicine, and things like that. I mean, it's just stuff. You're learning how to learn before you go learn is what they're trying to do, step by step. But anyway, Paul was saying here, there's people that are ever learning. They're always taking a course. They're always doing something online. They're always reading. They're always studying. But it says here, but they're not able to ever come to the truth. So in other words, what happens is, well, I read the Old Testament. Are you saved? No. You didn't get it. I'm gonna try this denomination, or I'm gonna try this religion, or I'm gonna try. You're not gonna get it. All right, because you're ever learning, but you're not gonna come to the knowledge of the truth. So the Old Testament was laid out from where we came from, the sin problem, and what God did about it, and it should have brought you to that faith. I'm gonna put my faith in Christ. I learned. I got it. I've come to the knowledge of the truth. But Paul was saying there's people that they're reading this Bible and they're going to this denomination or they're going to this and they're going to that and they're just always looking for something, but they never come to the knowledge of the truth. They're just wise dummies. They know a lot about a lot, but they don't know the truth. And the truth will set you free, the Bible says. So we see here experience again and again. And I'll give you an example of this. There was a, and I'm going to, I've got it all written out, but I'm just going to tell you because I don't have a lot of time. There was a high school principal, and he'd been a high school principal for 25 years. All right, bless his heart. But anyway, for 25 years. And so he had put in for a raise or put in for a higher position pretty much, you know, 10 or 15 years of that 25 years and got declined. And declined and declined. And so it says that he asked for a meeting after putting in for this thing. You know, for 25 years I've been a principal and I put in for this job and I didn't get it. And of course, we've heard of stories like this where, you know, they get sued because, you know, they deserved it and they didn't get it and they got overlooked because of this person. And, you know, this person doesn't have the qualifications that I do and this, that, and that, and yakety yak yak. But he went to the Sunday school, or not Sunday school, but he went to the school superintendent and said, look, I put in for this because I've got, and I should have gotten it because I have 25 years of experience in the Sunday, or not, I keep saying Sunday school, church brain. The school superintendent said, that's where you're wrong. And he's like, what? He said, I can show you. I started working here, and I can do math. 25 years later, I'm still in this same job. He said, but yeah, that's where you're wrong. You don't have 25 years of experience. You only have 1 year of experience, but you've done it 25 times. That's why you didn't get the position. Because just like you were on that first year of being the principal, that's exactly how you are now. All right, you haven't experienced, you haven't developed. That's why we can't put you on down the road. So there's a lot of people that, well, I've been here this long, but if we haven't line upon line, precept upon precept, or if we haven't learned, we're not going to get to go to that next position. So we see Philippians 3:10 says this, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His suffering, being made conformable unto His death. And so this is what Paul was telling the church. I mean, I want it so bad. Okay, this is why I do what I do. This is why I learned from the schoolmaster. This is why I got saved on the road to Damascus. And this is the experience that I've been doing on all my missionary journeys. And all the things that I've went through. The stonings, the imprisonments, the belittlings, the attacks, the threatenings. I don't care. I'm experiencing that. Why? Because I want to know Him so bad. And so again, if we want that position, we might need to learn some stuff along the way so that God can give it to us. I've got an example of this one. And again, I will paraphrase. Socrates, you've probably heard that name before. Very, very intelligent person. Was known for their wisdom and things. And this young man said, if I could just get, I want to be smart so bad. I want to have knowledge so bad. If I could just talk to Socrates, I know that he could, you know, wax eloquence and bestow some power and wisdom on me. If I could just get to him. And so years later, it says in the story that he finally meets him, and he goes to him and says, "Mr. Socrates, you know, I know you're very smart. You're intelligent. You can answer my questions." And he says, I want to be smart. I want to have knowledge." And he says, "Follow me." So he went. Oh, here we go. We're going to get some knowledge. He's just going to give me an envelope, and then boom, it's going to be there. Or he's going to tell me some mass secret that's just going to boom. It's going to be there. And they walk down to the ocean, and they walk out into the ocean. And he's like, "Okay, I don't get this. You know, we're wet." Da, da, da. And he said, Socrates grabs him by the lapels. Whoom! Under the water he went. And I mean, he was flailing and kicking and all that stuff. And I mean, he left him down there so much, not till death, but right there at it. It was just around the corner. And so when he let him up, I mean, he couldn't talk. He couldn't hardly breathe. He just laid him there onto the beach and went back to his place of business. And so it took this guy a little while to come to his senses, to get his breath back. And so it says that he went and wanted to ask him, why did you do that? And Socrates said unto him, and I will read this part. When you were under the water, what was the one thing you wanted more than anything else? And he said, to be able to breathe air. And Socrates said, then when you want knowledge and understanding as badly as you wanted that air, you won't have to ask anybody to give it to you. So we see here, that's what Paul was saying. I want to know him. And so what we're supposed to do when we have the Word of God is I want to develop a relationship. I want to know everything about Jesus. I want to know him. And nobody's going to have to put that on me, twist my arm, make me do it. So we're going to look at some things here. This is where we will. We'll go to Deuteronomy 4. Did I already tell you that? Deuteronomy 4. And I'm going to just read you verse after verse. We've got about, it looks like if that thing's right, it wasn't right Sunday night or Sunday morning. I just kept on going. Anyway, we got about 8 minutes. So we're going to have to do a verse a minute. No, we got a little bit longer than that. But anyway, it says here, learn. What am I supposed to learn? First thing we're supposed to do is learn to fear the Lord. And I don't have time to preach all these points, but we'll look at Deuteronomy 4, 9 through 10, or 9 and 10. It says here, I'm in Amos. I better get in the right book or I'll be preaching some false doctrine. Anyway, Deuteronomy 4, verse 9, it says here, only take heed to thyself and to keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things which thy eyes have seen. So when we go to school, we're supposed to remember, not forget. We're supposed to take heed of ourselves. And then it says, and lest thou depart from thy heart all the days of thy life, but teach them to thy sons and thy sons' sons. So in other words, I'm supposed to go learn something so I can bring it with me and give it to my son and my son's son. Verse 10, especially in the day that thou stoodest before the Lord, thy God in Horeb, when the Lord said unto me, gather me the people together, and I will make them hear my words, and here it is, that they may learn to fear me all the days that they shall live upon the earth, and that they may teach their children. So what am I supposed to learn? When I looked at the Old Testament, our schoolmaster, I got saved. In other words, I graduated from that. I learned what that was set up for. So now what am I supposed to do? I'm supposed to learn to fear the Lord. And the Bible even says in Proverbs, that's just the beginning of knowledge. That's just the beginning of your becoming smart. If a person has degree after degree after degree after degree after degree and they don't believe in God, again, just an educated doofus. They don't have wisdom. They have a lot of facts and a lot of knowledge, but they're ever learning but never coming to the knowledge of the truth. So we're supposed to learn, first of all, to fear the Lord. And we won't take time, but you can go back to verse 1 there. It talks about hearkening, taking heed of yourself. We saw that. Keeping diligently all those things that you're taught. And don't forget them and be able to teach others also, like the New Testament says. And do that over and over and over. So we're supposed to learn to fear the Lord. Let's see what else we're supposed to learn. Go to Psalm 119. Psalm 119 and verse 71 and 73. 71 and 73. So we're looking at our schooling. Our school is the schoolmaster here, the Old Testament. So we're learning what it's pushing us to, and all the rest of them are going to be in the New Testament here. So we're supposed to learn to fear the Lord. That's when we're starting to become smart. And again, I don't think it's more of a, you know, biting my fingernails like, oh no, God's going to step on me like an ant, squish me like a grape, that type of fear, but it's a reverence. Now, God could take us out. He's the one that created us. He's the one that could take us out. And the Bible talks about how that we, if we live in a way that our days will be blessed and they'll be long upon the earth. But if we don't, they can be shortened. So we need to fear the Lord. Secondly, we need to learn in Psalm 119, verse 71. Psalm 119, verse 71. And it says here, "It is good for me that I have been afflicted." Affliction and good doesn't sound like it's supposed to be in the same sentence. But it says right here, and David was saying, "It is good for me that I've been afflicted. All the things that I've went through, it's good." He probably kind of was teaching Romans 8:28. "It's good that I've been afflicted, that I might learn," and there it is, "learn thy statutes." It's kind of like, "Blessed are they that mourn." What? The rest of the verse, "because they will be comforted." And so again, when I'm going through a statute, going through a conflict, and I'm suffering a little bit, God allowed that. Why? So I can learn His statutes. That God's going to protect me. God's going to give me, He's going to teach me something out of this. And verse 73 says, "Thy hands have made me and fashioned me. Give me understanding that I may learn thy commandments." And so we see that first of all, we're supposed to learn to fear the Lord. Secondly, we're supposed to learn His statutes, learn His commandments, learn His words. So all these afflictions that come into my life didn't catch God by surprise. He allowed it. Just ask Job. He allowed it. Just ask Joseph. He allowed it. We could just keep on going down the list. Paul. It's good that these afflictions came in my life. Why in the world? Why? So I could learn His Bible and that it's true and that God will be there. So I'm supposed to learn to fear the Lord. I'm supposed to learn the Word of God. The third place is Isaiah. So we'll go a couple more pages toward the back. Isaiah 1. We're going to just look. We've got a few more minutes here. Look at some things that we're supposed to learn. Learn to fear the Lord. Learn His statutes, commandments, word. Here's another one. In Isaiah 1, look at verse 16. Verse 16. "Wash you and make you clean. Put away the evil of your doings. From before mine eyes, cease to do evil." Okay, so God says, stop it. Don't do that. Don't think that way. Don't talk that way. Don't go to those places. Put away all that junk. Why? Verse 17. "Learn to do well. Seek judgment. Relieve the oppression of oppressed and judge the fatherless. Plead for the widow. But learn to do well." And what did it say Jesus did when He was down here on the earth? He went about doing good. Well. And so He was our example. And so first of all, we're supposed to learn to fear the Lord. We're supposed to learn His statutes, His commandments, His word. Then with that, we're supposed to learn to do well. To learn to help people. Go about doing good. That's the right way to do it. So let's go to Titus 3. Titus 3. So we're going to look at some New Testaments now. Titus 3. What does the Bible say we're supposed to learn? All right, Titus 3, verse 14. Verse 14 says this, "And let ours also learn," and here it is, "to maintain good works for necessary uses, that they be not unfruitful." If you skip back over to verse 8, the last part of it, it says right there, "Be careful to maintain good works." So the only thing that's going to last a long time, if it's well maintained, if you were looking for a vehicle and you saw somebody, let's say, and I hate to point him out, but he's the only teenage guy here tonight. Let's say Landon had been driving it for like 4 or 5 years. All right? And let's say, I don't know who the oldest fella in here is tonight, but it's probably on this side of the room. All right? Well, maybe no, on this side of the room. All right? But anyway, but if that person had been driving that the same length, your brain would tell you, I'm buying that car from Brother So-and-so, not Landon. Okay, I don't know why, but teenage guys don't take care of vehicles. I thought it was crazy. I had a guy in my Sunday school class, my oldest son and his oldest daughter, same class, got their license on the same day they were born. I mean, my car insurance went up a house payment. All right, it was like I had 2 house payments. Because I had a teenage dude. His car insurance went up $50. She's the one that ran into their house. She missed a garage door. Durr. All right, but my kid did. Messing with the radio, bam, running in the back of somebody. Tried to go down the wrong direction at Walmart and parked the wrong way. Scratched somebody's side. So I get it. All right, and I was a teenage dude. You know, burn rubber, speed, race, whatever. It's just not maintained well. And that's what this is saying. We've got to learn to maintain good works. And you've seen it like this. Somebody will come into church and they want to get involved in everything. I want to be this and I want to do that. And I want to be involved in this. I'm going to help in this. And they make it a couple of weeks. And then where are they at? Where'd Brother So-and-so go? I ain't seen him. Right? But you've seen those people that have been in church their whole life. And they're just maintaining good works. Maintaining good works. And you got to learn to do that. You got to learn to be faithful. You got to learn to ask God help. You got to learn to do what the Bible says. You got to learn to maintain good works. Well, let's look at a couple more. Philippians 4. Philippians 4. Philippians 4, verse 11. Philippians 4, verse 11. And again, these are hard ones to learn. Just like math was hard for some people, and English was hard for some people, and you know those other higher levels of math and things like that. Science, it was hard, but we had to learn it. Same thing here, Philippians 4, verse 11. Not that I speak of respect of want. Here it is. For I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. And that doesn't mean Kentucky or Tennessee, where I was earlier today. All right, but state of life. State of possessions, state of abilities, whatever state that I find myself in, I got to be content. Now, again, the Bible doesn't have a problem with us trying to get better at something, learning it, things like that. But don't just throw the baby out with the bathwater, or throw your hands up and forgive, or you know, God, that's not right. So and so's they seem to be in a better state than I am physically or mentally or financially, and that's just not fair. No. We got to learn. Okay, God. Again, I'm gonna try my best to do better, but I've learned. And then it goes on to say in verse 12, you know, I've learned to abound. I've learned to be abase, and I'm gonna be happy about both. Because God's allowing it, and so forth. So I have to learn to be content. Two more. Hebrews 5. Hebrews 5. Hebrews 5, verse 8. And again, this is right at me too. I'm pointing one finger out at you, and 3's pointing right back at me. I understand this is a elementary thing that we ought to learn, but it's in the Bible. Hebrews 5, verse 8. It says here, though we were a son, yet we learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. All right, so we have to learn to be obedient. Well, I don't want to do that. This morning we were at the Old Mill restaurant in Pigeon Forge, Tennessee, going to get some good breakfast. And I saw this lady coming up. It's got a ramp that you go up there, and she's coming up there. She had a gallon of milk in her hand. And I was like, what is she doing? And I looked, and all the little kids had it wasn't tie-dye, but it was airbrush shirts. They all had airbrush shirts on that they had gotten, and it was like 5 or 6 of them. And then her mom and dad was at the end. And so here they all come up the steps, and she had a gallon of milk. I said, what is she doing with that? And then I saw the menu. You know, for my cup of coffee, it was $6.25. I was like, I'm bringing my own next time too. But anyway, she brought her own milk into the restaurant. But the little boy didn't want to be there. All the rest of them were girls, and they were having fun with each other. But he was huffing and puffing. He didn't want to be there. And that's what I told my wife. I was like, when a kid comes to Pigeon Forge, they want to be on a go-kart. They want to be on a Skyline coaster. They want to be in the arcade. They don't be walking around stores. Oh, ain't this cute? No, it's not cute. I mean, he was like 7. He didn't want to eat. He wanted to go ride something, but he had to go eat. So anyway, he was trying to escape. So Mama ran out there, grabbed him, and they were looking for the restroom. I guess she had to go to the restroom for, I don't know. They were looking for somewhere to get some one-on-one time, and she handed her Mama that milk jug. And so, but anyway, he had to learn to obey. And that's what the Bible tells us. But we have to learn to obey. Last one, Matthew 11. Matthew 11, verse 29. What does the Bible say that we're supposed to learn? And it says, Matthew 11, verse 29. It says here, take my yoke upon you, and here it is, and learn of me. And if you have a red letter edition, this is Jesus speaking. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So not only are we supposed to learn to be obedient and be content and to maintain good works and to do well and to learn His Word and to learn to fear Him, you put all that in one bag and you're going to learn of Him. So the Bible obviously was written a long time ago and preserved for us. The Old Testament to be our schoolmaster. Well, I've already gotten saved, but we're supposed to keep learning. I've heard people say this, I've learned so much more since I've been out of school than when I was in school. Life experiences, boom, 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 same thing. I mean, I learned a few things before I got saved. I learned that I was a sinner. I learned there was a price on sin. I learned there was a place on hell that I didn't want to go. I learned that Jesus died and made it possible for me not to go there. And I learned if I'd accept Him, He'd take me to heaven. I learned all that. But since that time, I want to know Him. I want to learn Him. And I want to be obedient. I want to be content. I want to maintain good works. There's a whole lot of things that we're supposed to learn. And we can have a refresher course. We can do, if you want to speak spiritual, we can have a revival in any of that in those areas. So it's up to us to learn. But don't be continually learning and never come to the knowledge of truth. Get it. Nail it down and learn to be all those things. Lord Jesus, thank you for this day. Thank you for the opportunity we have to serve you. Thank you for your Bible. And Lord, and your commands and your statutes telling us all these things that we're supposed to learn. And that was just 7 or 8 of them. There's a whole lot more that we're supposed to learn. But Lord, I ask you to help us to step by step, line upon line, precept upon precept, one day at a time. And Lord, I ask you to help us realize, Lord, you'll be right there with us. That Holy Spirit will say, this is the way. Walk ye in it. We have a good instructor. In Jesus' name, amen.